Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
Okay, sorry, let me just quickly go into the questions. Let me go into the question and answer quickly. We have a number of questions. Have you sent the updated one? Okay, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Wow. We have quite a number of questions here. I hope I will finish within the next 30 minutes thereabout. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I'm not able to finish for whatsoever reason, the remaining questions will drop on the Bible discussion group. We'll answer it and drop it there, so that discussion can continue there. Is that okay? Because I have up to 20 questions here. Yeah, that's why I said so. Almost 20 questions. And some have A, B, C, D. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. But I love the line of questions. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we blessed? Okay. According to our culture... First question says, according to our culture in the house, is it every brother or sister that gets to stay with pastor before they get married? What's the answer? That's not correct. A number of people get to stay with pastor. How many pastors? How many will you collect for your house? The queue go long. You understand? It's not so. However, the path, some people, it becomes necessary for them to stay, not just with pastors, with other brethren. Because marriage is funny. Many of us, we have subconscious thing, laws that we have, that are written inside of us. And because we have not experienced how a godly family should run, even when you think you have the truth, the law is still inside of you. When you get there, it's something else to play out. That's why it is necessary, it might be necessary for, I remember Ore, she was talking about Anna, guy today. He been your guy. I remember that time they were engaged in school. And then by the time they came out, I think they were in coaching for about 7 years or so, or five or seven years. They're about six, almost 7 years. So someone said, they were calling her Lord of the Rings. Now, at it got to a time, I knew in my spirit that for the relationship to go ahead, this guy, Ayo, he's a very young man, he's a very very good guy, but he needed to stay with a pastor, not just a pastor, Pastor Tope Fanai particularly. So at the point in time she came to meet me, and they came to me, I said, hey, I want you to get married, but look, for this thing to move, what I'm seeing in my spirit, your boy needs to stay with pastor. And at that time, there was no space in Pastor Tope's house. The whole place was full, brethren. I said, look, I want you to get married though, but go and start praying. Whatever heaven will do, let heaven do. And I went to sleep about it. Then, God did it one way. Pastor Emeka requested Pastor Tope that Pastor Tope should take me out. The space opened up and then he was in the house. And the way God accelerated everything, within 6 months of staying in the house, God had accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And then, now, as at that time, there was space in my house, but he was not supposed to come to my house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I just know his path is. I don't look for your wedding to. Now, after he started staying with Pastor Tope, I started congratulating her. Your wedding is coming very soon. It was Pastor Emeka that talked to her that, when are you getting married? By himself. It was not me, even though I was pastoring her. Are you understanding? When are you getting married? Okay, you guys. So, there are parts to this thing. It's not just one pastor who says, okay, you. No. There are parts to it. And God has intent behind it. So, some persons, God will leave you in your parents' house and you will be fine. Are you understanding? In fact, some people have come to the house and I said, go back to go and serve your father. Go. Because some people actually run away because they don't want to serve their parents. They don't want to serve their parents. Are you understanding? So God said, yeah, go back. Go there. Go and serve. Submit. Do everything you should do until God says it's time. So there's nothing about, that's a misconception, and that's the clarity about that. The most important thing is follow the leading of the Spirit. Consult with your pastors and let's see. If it's necessary, the Lord will work it out. And if it's not necessary, stay where you are, submit unto them, and then the Lord will prosper you there. Amen. Is that okay? Okay. Good, Esa. When I hear brethren talk about how they met their partners, I hardly hear anyone talk about confirming genotype. Is it a consideration when getting married, or is the Lord, since it's the Lord leading, it doesn't matter? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you expect such questions in this place. Now, the issue, genotype is actually a good issue, a scientific thing. Knowing the blood type and all of that. But one of the emphasis that we emphasize here, I say this with all, I want every one of us to open our ears. One thing that Pastor Emeka said, which I also believe, and the Lord has led me, is we allow faith to lead. Senses must not lead you. Faith must what? Lead you. Why? If you walk by senses, and that's by observation, you will not sow. And it will be impossible for you to obey God. I know many people, many churches, once the first thing, if I are talking about marriage, the first thing they check is genotype. And no matter how strongly God is leading, they cancel it. They cancel it. But in that kind of atmosphere, faith can never prosper. I have one of the pastors that helped us while we were here, myself and my wife, Pastor Gwinga Samuel and the wife, they told me their testimony. They were attending Living Faith then, even though my church was not Living Faith. They had the impression in their spirit that they were supposed to marry. Then they found out that they were ASAS. Then they went and prayed. And the Lord said, go ahead. Yes. And when they got married, they gave birth to their first son. I think the first child even was a miscarriage. They gave birth to a boy. I think it was A-S or A-A. A-S. Then they gave birth to the second child, Ife. And I've forgotten the name of the daughter. She was S-S. Then they prayed to God. And that S-S got converted to A-A. Till today, the girl is A-A. They are all doing fine. Why am I saying so? Faith must lead, because the verdict of men, the discovery of men, does not invalidate the counsel of God. However, substance, because we have some ridiculous brothers and some ridiculous sisters who they don't have substance. It is not God that is leading them. They don't have faith. But because of the pleasures of their flesh. In fact, this one is recently amongst us. This girl and this lady, they were telling them, and these pastors felt that there was nothing in this place. But they said, they were giving themselves all manner of confirmation. The brother was saying all his confirmation. The sister was saying all his confirmation. Where God will catch them. When they now did tests, the test falls that they were ASAS. Immediately the girl saw that it was AS, her tongue changed. He said, Isha, actually, Olorun o son kankan fun me. Because she knew in herself that if she presented it before her mother, even she don't even get faith, let alone her mother. She came and said, in fact, daddy, really, really, God don't tell me. I just felt we could work things out. But before the test came, they were giving all manner of confirmation, this kind of revelation. And the person looked at her like, ah. But you know, when person they give you all manner of revelation, you just fold your hand. Okay. But thank God, I just need to help the God help her, because they will have landed in serious trouble. Now, there are a few others that you know that this person has substance. They are persuaded of God, and this is what God is working in them. Now, such persuasions mustn't be killed. You do injury to spirits. Are you understanding? The most important thing, you encourage them, pray with them, and encourage them to be steadfast in faith. Hope against hope. Are you understanding? Believe the impossible. But the standard is it, even though we don't start by asking genotypes, we do confirm genotype. Are you understanding? Even though we don't start with genotype, we do what? Confirm genotype before eventually marriage is contracted. Hallelujah. So we allow, say, let faith lead. Say, let faith lead. Let spirit lead. Let God lead, not your senses. Not your senses. Not your senses. Your senses cannot. I know people, I've been with people. I know people who, one of my senior friends back in my church, that he felt he was leading to this guy's girl. Once he landed on the issue of genotype, he was the one that broke it. So as a young boy, those things have been on my mind. So does it mean that God, you said God was leading you, then genotype invalidates? So is he that genotype is stronger than God, or God is stronger? It was confusing to me as a younger boy. But having grown a little over the time, I've seen that really, 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 faith should lead. Faith should lead. If God, what I tell people is, that's why you must confirm also that it's God, and irrefutably God, before you go ahead. Because you are only talking about issue of genotype. What about illnesses that will not happen, that may happen on the while you are married? Yeah. So if you run away because of genotype, what when you are married, if a life-threatening illness comes, what will you do? Will you run away again? You say it's not the will of God. No, you walk with faith. You walk with faith. I remember before we got married, just a few weeks my wedding, that's how the church called me. They said that there was a medical emergency. And then they wanted to cancel the wedding. And then we looked at it. In fact, I went to 3 general hospitals. And said, because of that, said, don't worry, I didn't have HIV. But we said, we should go ahead. Parents agree we should go ahead. Then I remember getting back to after the wedding. One person that was with my pastor, when we were narrating this, said, oh, it's you. I saw a union before the wedding. He said, I saw a union that would shake the gates of hell. And Satan was throwing dust to ensure that it would not happen. Because after the whole wedding, we went back for the test. Nothing again. Are you understand? So if you had, because of what the medical report, and it was common, our three hospitals. So like, God. But God said, what the Lord said is that go ahead. God, the Lord gave the witness, God gave the substance, and then we went ahead. Are you understand what I'm saying? So that's why faith must always lead. If faith doesn't lead, you walk in the flesh, you jeopardize the counsel of heaven, and then we will feel a sense of false safety. Because, like I said, it's not only genotype issues that can arise in marriage. There are all manner of things that will arise that you can't even prepare for. And you understand what I'm saying? Our medical doctors, am I correct? There are all manners. And unless you learn to stand in faith, you discover that you are never well prepared enough. So our standard, the standard of this church is let faith lead, let God lead, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. Okay. It seems as if you are not giving me a good amen for that response. Good morning, Pastor. It's afternoon already. It's on the issue of submitting of a sister for marriage. Okay, this matter is serious. If you submit a sister and your pastor says, give it a year, what does it actually mean? After a year, do I come back and remind him again, or just wait for his directive, hoping he hasn't forgotten my intention? I just need to understand. So most probably this is a brother, and they've told me, give him a... Hallelujah. I feel that Nii wants to answer the question. Let me give the mic to Nii. You're a pastor in this house. You're a pastor. Don't worry. You can. Yeah. Can you appreciate him? Amen. Yeah. Pastor Moses Abi, let me be hearing. Yeah. Yes. I'm sure. I'm thinking that it may be him that even told the person, give you the year. So, oh yeah.
Okay. Actually, so in that kind of situation, just for you to meet, if it's basically your pastor is to say it, if it's God, just let it be. You understand? Pray to God. If the Lord really wants it to be, the Lord would also talk to your pastor. And one of the things that we must also understand is that our pastors do not hate us. They are aware of what is happening to us. They are not people that don't say, "Ah, pastor is busy. Maybe he has forgotten." No, he has not forgotten. Do you understand? So I feel that it's best that you just let go, and trust God to actually bring it up when it's time. Go and pray. Pastor told Pastor Red that just go and pray. And when she went to pray, the Lord himself was the one that told, Daddy Eguchukwu. I understand the way that thing can be. At some point or the other, we all had to wait. I remember then, me, during the anamnesis prayer meeting, I used to go and stand where Daddy Eguchukwu would see me. You understand? If paraventure would see me and remember that, knee. Okay, that issue. But all those gimmicks did not work. You understand? So, I'm just saying that when you're asked to wait, and don't wait with patience. Don't wait without patience. Basically.
Okay, thank you. Can I appreciate him? Now, the truth is this. God is more concerned about you getting it right than you are. Can that sink in a little bit? God is more concerned about you settling down. I'm using settling down not because you are erratic, but God is more interested than you are yourself. Now, what is causing the protest is because somewhere you have not even gotten the crux of the wait for a year. The wait for a year doesn't mean that it's not even the person. The wait for a year may be the fact. It may be for many reasons. But one of it may be that God wants to raise you above the power of that thing. Everything has power. And everything can control you. Sometimes you may not have age enough in your spirit to old marriage, old relationship. And God just wants you to grow. And you understand what I'm saying? He just wants you to grow. I've had people who the Lord witnessed in my spirit that this is the person. And then for the next 2-3 years, I was just watching them. And I didn't say one word. Just watching them grow. Watching them grow. In the course of that period, maybe one of them come and discuss with me. I'll just say, that's interesting. And we'll keep watching until that fullness comes. Sometimes God tells you ahead to be praying along with them, to be praying for them, to be intentional. And sometimes God tells you also to minimize distractions. Are you understanding? So that in case something else comes, you will know that this is where they should go. Do you understand? So for stability. But in the hall is that, that God wants to raise you so that by the time you handle an estate, you would have power to run it without losing life. I see sometimes people fret over things. In fact, once you start having a sense that it has to be, you don't know that haste is still in your heart. And God says, you will not go out by haste or by flight. The Lord will go ahead of you. So you must, patience must have a perfect work. And you understand what I'm saying? Patience, not just that you must be patient, but allow patience to work in you perfectly. So that you'll be perfect and entire, lacking what? So allow patience to fulfill its work. Don't just be patient. Allow patience to what? To fulfill its work in you. That's when you end up perfect, entire, lacking nothing. At the end of the day, you discover that you would have gained mastery to all that nested without losing life. So whether they say 1 year, 6 months, focus on growth. This one that you are watching calendar, how many? I've heard people have said 1 year, and then I didn't talk to them for almost 2 years. Let's just keep growing. And at the end of the day, you see have all of your life days of flesh, you do this thing. So say calm down. Let me tell you, tell all the brother near, say calm down. Tap them and say calm down. Say be calming down. Say be calming down. Be calming down. Be calming down. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay. Good day, Daddy. This one has A, B, C, D. Question 4. What is service? In the context of the house or to the brethren, does service just mean doing chores or running errands? Or does it involve that and more? Okay. That and more. Okay. It involves that and more. Let me just put that. I will explain everything. I think everything is talking. Should service in the home affect my service in church? Being active in church workforce? Or even my job, especially for people who work from home? Should service in the home affect your service at work or service at home? Capital no. Capital what? If it is affecting it, it is lack of wisdom. It is what? Lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom that is causing it. And I will talk about it in context when I'm summarizing together. Okay. See, what is submission? Are submission and service two different entities, or are they intertwined? What I mean is, is submission restricted to only telling your pastor or spiritual authority and brethren things? Or does it also involve rolling your sleeves to do some work? The person that is asking this question, I'm suspecting this person. So, is submission just come and informing them, telling them things, or rolling your sleeves and what? Doing work. She shared. The truth is this. There is no way you will submit without doing service. One of the things that he says, I think maybe Hebrews or Peter, he talked about servants. He said, do them service. And he talks to the conduct of, I think it'd be Hebrews, either Hebrews 13 or Peter, thereabout. If you can let me get the scriptures, I'll be very glad. Talk about doing them service. But it talks within the context of submission. Amen. I just want to point out that there is no way you would submit without what? Doing. 1 Timothy 6. 2. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, yes, from verse 1. Let's just do. Let as many servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not what? Blasphemed. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are what? Brethren. But rather what? Do their service, because they are faithful, they are beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things what? Teach and exhort. So part of submission is also what? Doing service. Are you understanding? Doing service. You can't say you are submitted to somebody or subject to somebody and then not do them service. It's a lie. Are you understanding? That's it. When we talk about the context of doing service now, walking, she share. You see pastor working. You came to see pastor. Just imagine, I'm just in quote. You came to see pastor in the house. You want to discuss the matter of your life. You see pastor washing car. You now went to go and sit down at the reception. you went to sit down at the reception. You went to the pastor finish. You see mommy washing plates and peeling beans. You went to sit down in the chair. They gave you, serve you water. You drink water. You drink juice. You drink juice. You take you chichi. You stand in the parlor. You cross leg. The mommy was washing beans, washing clothes and everything. They now sat down. Say, hey, well done, ma. You've been busy, ma. I actually wanted to come and discuss with you, submit something to you, ma. Is that you are foolish. You are foolish. So whether or not you stay in the house, there you can render service. Submitting, doing service, part of submission. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to take everything together. I mean, the last part. So how do I know I am serving and or submitting well? Person that wrote this question, I'm suspecting you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, how do I know I am serving or submitting well? Amen. The first thing is this, is your obedience to the word. There is no perfect mirror that wants to mirror our lives than the word. I could say, the opinion of men, but that thing is biased. So the very thing that shows you how well you are submitting and serving is actually the word. If you don't look into the perfect law of liberty, you won't see what manner of man you are. It's the word that shows you what kind of man you are and how well you are doing and how well you are not doing, how much you are conforming to the image of Christ and how much you are not doing so. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That one. But for a litmus test, go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I think that should be verse 7. Is it 7? Hebrews 13. Uh-huh. Is it 7? 17, sorry. 17. More question again. Okay. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must what? Give account, that they may do it with what? Joy, and not with what? For that is what? The question is this. Do the people you are serving or submitting have cause to rejoice over you? That's one perfect litmus. A person can be they may not visibly complain, they may be enduring you. They may not even talk. They may be using you to grow. They may be using you what? To grow. They are enduring you. They are forbearing you. So that they are not complaining is not a proof that you are doing well. But do they have cause to rejoice over you? Are you understanding? So my question is, if I am not causing joy in their heart, somewhere I'm causing pain somewhere. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If I'm not what? Causing joy in there. One thing that I want to do, that is my prayer, is that every time Pastor Ebeke Igutuku is thinking of me, he should be thanking God. Every time that Igutuku is thinking about me, he should be blessing God. That there should be no cause for concern, worry at all, anytime their thoughts is towards me. If you are doing like that, you discover there is a manner, there is a fear that comes to your heart. Are you understanding? But if you are saying, because they are not saying anything, it's most likely that you are already, the same thing for your parents. You know, your parents may not complain, but they are just watching. You are worried about your life. Worried about your life. Some of the challenge that we have, if sometimes a parent getting, they look at your manner of decision. You are not getting married. You are irresponsible with finance. Every time you are working, but you are still coming to come and collect transport money from them. Every single time. Are you understanding? And it's not as if you have a house. You don't have any property that you say you have bought. So, they are not complaining, but they are just worried. They know that this boy or this girl is immature. The day you come with a girl, they will question him. They will question that decision. Because from your life, they've seen irresponsibility. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They've seen irresponsibility. Now, they may not visibly attack you, but they are already concerned. But the one who they have seen consistent, wise choices, before they wake up, he has woken up, cleaned the house, gone to the market, judicious management of this thing. They trust his judgment because even when they are traveling, he cannot, take a minute. Oh, they hand the bubole. Do you understand? They know that when they see that man of decision, when she wants to make judgment, she's a responsible girl. They've seen evidence from the life. Why? From service. They've gained trust. They are at trust. And then every time he's rejoicing, not complaining. But you sleep till 7, 8, 8, 8, 8, 9 a.m. You are still in bed. They've cooked breakfast. People have eaten, have gone to work. You are still in bed. You are doing devotion. And then they say that you tell them that they are complaining about you are a son that causes shame. Are you understanding? A son that causes shame, that is a grief in the heart. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Pastor Happy, you have something to add, yeah? No. Can you appreciate Pastor Happy? Oh yeah. Open your mouth. Oh yeah. Stand up. Yeah. And don't say everything you have said. Don't say as you have said. If you say as you have said, you stay. If you are holding back, he's the one that is holding us back. Oh yeah.
Okay, I think Daddy has said it. No.
Talk.
So, you can't separate service from submission.
It's four questions. You have forgotten some of them.
Yes.
Okay, let me read it again. You talked about, does service mean just doing chores,
yes,
and running around, or does it involve more?
Yes.
Then, does service in church, in the out, so does my service at home affect my service in church, or my work for those that are working from home? Then does submission and service, are they two different things? Or is it telling spiritual authorities what you are doing, or you are working? Does it, to roll your sleeves and do work? She share. And then how do I know I'm serving, I'm submitting well? Those are the four questions.
Okay, sir. Praise God. Amen. All right. I think just to wrap it. Let me use an example. I think there are some people, particularly in my unit, in the church, I've seen some traces. Let me give an example. Somebody.
This mic is not. Can we give you some volume a little?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just.
I think they've increased this one now that you now drop.
Okay, let me give an example. There are some people that stays in the house and brethren house, and they feel that let me give you an example. You have a unit meeting in the church for 6 p.m. and peradventure you just go out with, maybe you went out with mama or our dad here in the house, and because you went out with them, you just feel that you are not obliged to take permission from your HOD. I've seen it severally. I just behave as if he's, that is disorderly. It also happened at workplace where because you are friendly with the CEO, you feel that your first line of submission, you don't have to report to that person. Once the CEO says do this, you don't report to your first line, right? Your line manager, because your CEO oversees all. It is wrong. Now, also, you feel that when you're at work, and the other way around, some people feel that when they're at work, if their pastor calls them or tell you to do something, yeah, you just excuse that it's work now. It's official work. The same, because the truth is, it's the same art. Whatever you do to the natural is what also reflects in your spiritual. If scripture says that you serve the Lord God, whatsoever you do, it didn't say service in the natural, it's whatsoever you do. So whatsoever you do, he said, do it as silly as what? Unto the Lord. He didn't say walk in church or walk as office. Whatsoever you do, do it as silly as what? Unto the Lord. Because the truth is, for the natural, you think that there's a salary that is coming in. But that is not the reward of the work. The reward, he said, ye receive, I think Colossians chapter 3, ye receive the reward of every work that you do is from the Lord. Whether you get salary or not, the reward is from the Lord. So, it is the same art. It is the same art disposition. There are some meeting that you can't, you know that you can push some meeting. When, maybe for instance, you're working from home and...
Put 23 and 24 together.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so there are instances where you know that there are some meeting that is within my jurisdiction. I can push it. When maybe you are requested to do one or two things at home, you can actually push it. You know, let me also give an example. The question I used to ask myself is this. For instance, on Sunday, there are times where we give excuses of, oh, maybe because you have a wife, you know, you just got wedded, you have babies and everything. But the question is, on Monday, you don't give that excuse when you are going to work. You wake up 5 a.m. to go to work. Irrespective of whether you sleep well overnight or not, you must get to work. There is a principle at your workplace that 8 a.m., you must be there. Anything beyond 8 a.m., you already know that you'll be fine for it. But when it's church, you just relax. In fact, some of us will not even call our HOD. Some of us will not even, you know, take permission or anything. But the question is, whatsoever you do, he didn't say whether it is secular work, he didn't say whether it is in church, he said, do it what? Heartily, as to the Lord, and not what? Unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive what? The wrong which he... It does not mean that you not get salary at the end of the month. But there is somebody you are accountable to beyond the salary. And that is the Lord God. The reward is beyond salary. The reward is beyond anything natural. The reward is with the Lord God. And it's the same art. And it's the same art. You know, we attended Mommy's Ogunjobi's wedding. Birthday celebration. And the boss was giving, you know, a good recommendation concerning that. The same recommendation our brother was giving was the same thing that the boss was also giving. Because the truth is, when you put your hand to do the work of the Lord very well, it also shows in your work. It also shows in your work. The way you do the work of the Lord will also shows in the way you do the natural. Because it is the same art. It is the same art that you use to do the work. So the answer to the question is, you cannot excuse one for the other. You have to do it heartily. Hallelujah.
Amen. Can we appreciate him? Let me say this on that note, on the question finally. The issue of wisdom. Many of me, I've seen, you know, as a pastor, you see many things, but you are not permitted to comment about many things. You just see, laugh, smile, sometimes cry, and then pray, and then move on. Amen. But a lot of us lack wisdom. A lot of us. And I'm sorry to say it, but I have to say, a lot of us lack wisdom. And Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. Ask God for wisdom. You can ask God for wisdom about matters of life, about how to behave in a family, how to undo responsibilities of life. Are you understand? How to undo responsibilities of life with marriage, with church, with work. There is a balance, but if you don't ask the Lord for the secret of it, things will fall. It will be as if everything is conflicting. Now, the truth is this. If there are ways you adjust life and plan your life. When you say plan your life, you say it's about knowing the responsibility of life. And nobody, you see, hello? Nobody has more than 24 hours in a day. Are you understand it? Nobody has more than 24 hours in a day. But there are people that are more effective than you. Are you understand? There are people that get more done with their time, more than you. The secret is wisdom. The secret, the issue here is not that you have a lot to do and it's overburdening you. The issue is you don't have sufficient wisdom to handle. Look at the president of nation. For example, I was listening to the news, and during their mass deal, they iterated what Trump accomplished in 24 hours. Flew 14 hours to Israel, signed a peace deal, from a peace deal to Egypt, to meet with some world leaders. From there, flew to another country to meet with some world leaders before it came to Charlie Kirk's remembrance. Almost four countries within 24 hours, and he barely had 3 hours sleep. The same 24 hours that you are complaining is not enough to undo just one task. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the problem is not the multitude of tasks you have. You don't have wisdom. It's wisdom that is killing you. I mean, lack of wisdom. So, you are in a family. There's work to do. You have work to do in your place of work. You have assignment in church. It is not much. Are you understanding it? It is not much. That you have clothes to wash, you have food to cook, you have children to take care of, is not too much. It's just a, sorry I'm saying, I may sound insensitive, it's just a, there are people who have, John Wesley's mother had 17 children, and he was able to raise them for God. He didn't say because of that they didn't go to church. 17! But you just have, half baby that you have, it's not even full baby yet. I say, too much, there's too much work in the house. Kilo, what you lack is wisdom. Wisdom. With wisdom, you can become more effective. You learn time management. You learn how to prioritize, how to delegate, how to be proactive about work. Some of the things that, sincerely, sometimes we get to talk. I get to relate to some people. Some of us lack wisdom. I say, we lack wisdom. And the only thing we can pray is that God give me wise. God make me wise. Not revelational, not wisdom in the revelation of you. No, wisdom concerning matters of this life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need wisdom to handle it. You need wisdom. Wisdom to manage your academics together with responsibilities in fellowship, together with responsibilities at home. Are you understand? And then everything is perfect. You are not lacking in anything. It's wisdom. Wisdom. You won't have more than 24 hours, so you will never. But life will require to be more effective. So for every new phase, every new stage you are getting to, say, Lord, wisdom, Lord, wisdom, Lord, wisdom, light in my eyes. Give me grace. Then you discover that understanding comes to you. You know how to manage your affairs well. And then people will be looking at you. How do you balance everything and nothing is failing? It's because something, wisdom came to you. Are you understanding it? But don't grumble. Don't grumble when they say, I was discussing with, was it not you? How they added more work to your responsibility and everything. I said, the reward of hard work is more work. The reward of what? And your time will never increase. It will never increase. It will never. It will never. There's no day that the day will now be 25 hours. No. It will never increase. But you can increase in wisdom. Are you understand? You can do what? You can increase in wisdom. That growth. Then you discover that you are able to accommodate more. Some of us, the reason work that you can do with 3 clicks, you are using 75 clicks for it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And because of that, you are staying long at a work that optimally should take you 3 minutes. You are spending 2 hours on it. I'm seeing people who are still doing cell by cell, copy and paste in Excel. Cell by cell, you are copying this, pasting this. Like, how will you not waste all your time? Now, then you spend almost 2 hours doing that. And you say, they are giving you more responsibility. I don't have time. You are frustrated. Because there is no wisdom. Where you should have skill to be able to execute work timeously and then accurately. You are still doing control C and control V. In what generation? Are you understand? So some of us, what we call overwhelming work, the Bible says, the labor of a fool wearieth him because he doesn't know how. What we call this thing is overwhelming, is lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. If you have wisdom, you will manage everything. If people run nations, you can't even run your life. You can't run your life effectively. Yeah, people run nations and they don't have more than 24 hours. So please, up your game. Put your stuff together. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say, put your stuff together. And put your boots to work. Eh? Put your boots to work. Sorry, I don't know if I answered that question exhaustively because it's actually a multifaceted. The issue of submission, like I said, you can't submit well without serving. Submission is not just talking, it's not just discussing. I went to go and submit an issue to pastor. No. Submission is actually staying under, looking and serving. Looking and doing the same thing they are doing. Are you understanding? Putting yourself under. Hallelujah. Let me quickly run. We may not be able to take all of the questions, but I will just ensure that we take some today. And then, at least good number. Sorry, give me some few more minutes. Hallelujah. Say, good day, Daddy. I want to ask, how can I help myself and my attitude to serving, to service, living with a family that is not in these waters, and also I'm not comfortable doing my fellowship activities around them? I think this question is still the same thing, because it's just about service. You are living with a service. That the person is in these waters or not, doesn't affect your service. So, in fact, you have bosses that are unbelievers. Bible says you should not serve only, not only the good but also the forward. Are you understanding? So what? It's not the attitude. Some of us like good masters. You like to come and stay in pastor's house so that they'll be able to indulge your darkness, your irresponsibility. You want somebody that will not complain when you are acting funny. The person will be working in charity towards you. No. Hallelujah. That's why some pastors need to chase some people away from their house. Because under their oversight, they will never grow. You need some people who will be hard with them. And because pastor needs, God needs pastors at not to be hard. God needs to drive them away so that they will put them in people who can be hard with them so that they can straighten up. That's why God brings some people under some tough bosses. Bosses who will not look at your face. You understand? Don't give me my results. Whether you fly or enter the ground, I don't care. Just ensure that result is out. If you bend over back, I don't care. Some people are, pastor see and say, hey, put in suku, balawe. No, so you need some bosses that will not look at your face. And some of us, our parents are anointed like that. How many of us can attest? Some mothers, kill us here. You need some mothers that are hard like that to drive away some madness from the heart. So it's not whether brethren or wherever you find yourself, do them service. And you understand what I'm saying? Do them service. And why can't you fellowship in the house? You know, one of the things that I learned before, You think that doing devotion is shaking your head and disturbing the whole house. Until they put you in a place where about 5 or 7 of you are living in the same room. And you can't be shouting and disturbing everybody because everybody is not doing devotion at the same time. Then you learn secret of communion in your heart. Communion, obeying doctrine. Some of us, the hallmark of our spirituality is that we play message that shakakakakakakak. God will endure you for some time. But a time will come, they want to win you off of it. Oh yeah, oh God, 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 God. Keep quiet. Come and do commandments. Come and do obey commandment. Say, your communion, you can do your communion. You can do your communion anywhere. You can do your communion what? Anywhere. It's in your heart, between your heart and the Lord. Are you understanding? You can have a quiet time anywhere. Even if they are playing Fuji music in the next door, or even inside the room, you can shut your mind and shut your heart. Now, that is not willfully. Oh, I didn't say you should go to the place where they are doing Fuji, and they say that's where you want to go and do your communion. That is, if they are doing it against your will and against your choice, you can see. Don't go and say, in fact, is that bar? They will see you in the bar. They will say, what are you doing here? I'm doing my communion. That's not what I'm saying, no. Because sheep are funny. I say something in passing now. It's something there, something. Spirit is interpreting something else in somebody's heart. Amen. Okay, amen. Good afternoon, Pastor. Please, I would really love to know how to honor my parents. I really love my mom. And most especially find myself not honoring her, even when I don't want to do that. At the end of it, I see myself drowning in condemnation, even wondering what the Lord will be thinking about me if I try to pray. Please, sir, I really need help. I'm even more scared because she really prays for me. Ah. And I'm scared that all the blessings would go because of how bad I'm at honoring her. Your deliverance is already here because you even realize that you are dishonoring her. Now, it's a fearful thing to dishonor parents, let alone parents who are now walking in light, praying for you. It's a scary thing. Now, spirits may incense you to war against them, to your own heart. Are you understanding it? Amen. Go and ask the sons of Noah. What's it? Aham. Amen. Now, for parents that are not even walking in light, is it dangerous to dishonor them? Let alone the ones that are walking, no matter how low their light is, they are striving and they are labor for your sake, praying for you. So, spirits can incite you, provoke you. You have to fight your war. Are you understand it? You have to what? Fight your war. If it means having a prayer partner, coming to a prayer and say, well, let's pray together against it. If you find out that you are not able to pray alone, be accountable to spiritual authority, be accountable to brethren. And brethren is not just brethren who you will tell, who will pray with you, who will hold your hand, who you will go to your house together to wash all of mommy's clothes, clean all of mommy's house because they want blessing to rest upon your head. Are you understanding? But you may need to be that deliberate. You may need to be that deliberate. Thank God, God is already showing you. And that is already a pathway to victory. Amen? Because you can be doing it and you don't even know. You see, some people pray and prophesy in church, interpret tongues. Yet it's mommy that will cook their food and bring the plate. Mommy that will come and pack the plate from their table and wash it. You'll be surprised. I'm just thankful for my parents. She's very understanding. Are you understand? So, the fact that you even know is messy enough. But don't let it stop there. War. Fight your war and win your warfare. Are you understand? Because sometimes spirits are fighting with you to use you to curse your own life. Are you understanding? That's why you need to pray until that thing breaks. And then you have to be deliberate and intentional about obedience. But the pathway is be accountable to brethren, be accountable to spiritual authority. It may be that you don't fear enough. If there are people you fear in authority, Tell Pastor David. You can't tell Pastor David that you talked anyhow to your mother. And what they will hear, and they, all the devil that is worrying you will fly away. I can tell you. Or you tell Pastor Rose. Tell Pastor Rose. Hey! Your head will correct. I say, your head will what? Head will correct. You know, there are some people, by just being accountable, fear will just enter you. You know, if you tell me, maybe I'm too soft, I'm saying, hey. But tell Pastor Rose. When that spirit see Pastor Rose, he said, sorry, I'm going. He just tell me, sorry, I'm going. Or, there are people that God sent to straighten out your life. And you understand what I'm saying? But fight. I say fight. Fight for your life. Don't just keep quiet and expect things to go on like that. Huh? Okay, this question 7 is long. But the person is asking about Jesus, how he was submitted to his parents. Can we just give me that passage in book of, is it Luke or Matthew? Now, he went and was subject unto them. I think the person did not just understand this passage very well. The person was trying to say that he or she is confused how that Jesus challenged the authority of his parents, and then people say that Jesus was still subject to them. Even though Jesus questioned the parent, Bible says that he went from there and then was subject on Luke chapter, what's that? Did you look at Matthew? Sorry. Quickly. Eh? Luke. Quickly. All the Bible scholars in the house, help me out. Luke 2:14. Okay, look at. After the discuss in the temple, hallelujah. After the discuss in the temple, then the Bible says he went with them and came to Nazareth and then was subject unto them, but his mother kept all this saying in his heart. So it was not before the discuss in the temple when Jesus, he was after, hallelujah, he had discussed with the lawyers, he had told them why were they looking for him? And yes, according to the measure of light that Jesus had at that time, he might have thought that it wasn't necessary for the parents to look for him. Amen. Because the Bible says he was growing. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read the next verse. And Jesus increased. So he had a measure of wisdom. Are you understand it? But increase, that means that there was some wisdom that he didn't have yet. Are you understanding? But he was following the Spirit. So even though he challenged the parents, he didn't insist. Did you get that? Even though he challenged the parents, why are you looking for me? Should I not be about my father's business? I believe immediately he said that he received a rebuke in the Spirit. That, keep quiet. Follow them. The Bible says he went with his faith. So you expect that since he told them, why are you looking for me? He should just say, I better be going, Jale. Are you understand? But the next moment, he's doing the same opposite of what he said. I believe he received a rebuke in the Spirit. And God, Holy Spirit said, keep quiet. Yeah, follow. Then he left Jerusalem and then went to Nazareth and was subject to them. And then for the next 18 years, you didn't hear anything. For the next 18 years, you didn't hear one thing about Jesus. But what he was saying, that he was actually obeying them and going to the temple. And you understand? That was all about his life for 18 good years. So, like Jesus gave a parable concerning the man that has two sons. He told to one, go to my field, go and walk. And said, I'm not going. Then he told the younger one, go. He said, I'm going. Then the one that said, I'm going, he didn't go. Then the other one, the first one said, he repented. And he said, of the two of them, which one did the master's will? He said, of course, the one that actually repented. So sometimes you protest. Then before the protest leaves your mouth, Holy Ghost comes and says, no. But repentance is your ability to hit back your own words and then follow God. Are you understanding? So even though Jesus said, should I not be about my father's, and there was nothing wrong with that, but there was a wisdom that he was short of. But he went to Nazareth and then did all of that. And the Bible says he increased in wisdom and in stature and the favor of and in favor with God and man. So say amen. So Jesus was actually subject, but he related with them with a particular level of wisdom at a time. And when it was season for the Holy Ghost to move him forward in wisdom, he was actually almost going in a way until the Holy Ghost corrected him. Are you understanding? And then he obeyed the Lord fully. And you didn't hear any protests concerning the mother. But the mother took note of all that was happening. And somewhere she knew that it was the Lord working all of this. Not because they were actually ruling him with strength, but because the Holy Ghost was also governing him, even from age 12. And that speaks to every one of us. We can be so led by the Spirit that our parents will take note that really the Lord is leading this person in the way of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, if I can just strive to get to number 10, the remaining 9, we can answer it under this Sinabi. This is already 2:30. So you're not answering me. Do we have a deal? Some people want us to finish it. Or you want us to finish it? If you want us to finish your question, say I. Amen. Okay. How do we draw the line between pleasing God and pleasing men in the same context of service? I love this question about service. All of you will serve God. Everybody is just interested in serving God in this season. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we draw the line between pleasing God and pleasing men in the same context of service? What I mean by pleasing men is getting the praise of men, being appreciated, being applauded for a work well done. Is it possible to please God without pleasing men in this context? How do I differentiate between when man are pleased and when I'm glorifying God as well? And when I am doing eye service. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, let me start from the last question. When you are doing eye service, the thing that is indicated when you are doing eye service is you do it particularly in their presence only. Are you understand it? You keep a law when a particular person is present. When the person is not present, you do your own thing. You do what? You do your own thing. Remember the parables of Jesus when the householder went on a trip and let the house in charge of servants. Say, as soon as he's good, began to eat and drink and do his own pleasure. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, eye service is about fearing the physical presence or the knowledge. It may not even be physical presence until somebody is aware. The person may be physically present, he's not aware. So, he can do something secretly behind their back. But when it comes into eye service, then you come into a posture of heart that is compliant. That's eye service. Because you are only afraid because the person is aware of what you are doing. Are you understanding? But when you begin to do it as unto the Lord, whether or not the person you are serving is present, is absent or present, you are willfully, faithfully doing what you are required to do, whether anybody sees it or not. You are willfully, faithfully doing what you are required to do. Now, the issue of pleasing men. Let's see Romans chapter 14. Romans 14? Kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the. That's Romans 14, Abby. Is it Romans 14 or Romans 10? Romans 14. Thank you. Romans 14. Let's see Romans 14. Yes. Look at this. He said, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but what? I'm not hearing you. Yes, verse 18. For he that in this thing serveth what? Is what? I didn't hear that. He that in this thing serveth Christ is what? Are you serving men? But do men approve you? He that in this, so he's doing righteousness, he's doing peace, he's doing joy in the Holy Ghost. So he that serveth Christ like this is what? Accepted of God and then approved of men. So that men, so, you know, some people, when some say, let them say, happy is faithful, I'm not looking for praise of men, I'm looking for praise of God. It can just be because you are rebellious and because you are not walking in truth of God's word. Are you understanding it? If you serve Christ, right? He said, if the ways of a man please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. But everybody doesn't have anything good to say about you. He said, it's just God. It's a lie. If you serve God, if you serve Christ, if you do kingdom the way kingdom ought to be done, you will both be accepted of God. You know, we think that these things are mutually exclusive. Once you are accepted of God, men will, no, that's not true. The world will hate you, but not all men. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The world will hate you, but not all men. He said, he that in these things serveth Christ is accepted of God and approved of men. You know one thing I've realized? Even unrighteous men want faithful men. Even unrighteous bosses want people who are steady, stable, characterly upright. Want people who can be trusted. Are you understanding? My boss doesn't appreciate me because I'm a Christian. It's a lie. Walk in righteousness. Walk in truth. You are not obeying word very well. If you are obeying word very well, you'll be approved of men. Not because you are seeking the approval of men. Are you understand? So the question is, that's not what you are seeking. Because the same Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11, said, if I yet please men, then I be not a servant of Christ. Are you understand? Because my labor is not to please men, but to serve Christ. So what I'm saying, I'm serving Christ. But in serving Christ, if I serve Christ and I serve Christ according to the word, according to the truth of God's word in spirit, I will be accepted of God and approved of men. But my labor, there's a way you can be approved of men, then God doesn't know you. Because that's your labor. But if your labor is to serve Christ, you see that you walk in the truth of God's kingdom and then you have access to God. And then men will not be able to find fault with you. Men will not be able to find anything wrong to say about you. That's what the Bible says in Titus. Said that concerning the young men, so that they will not be able to find anything wrong. Those that are without will not be able to find anything wrong to say about you. So as long as men have something wrong to say about you, most likely and it's not concerning your fidelity to Christ. It's because you are not walking in righteousness as you ought to. Are you understanding the balance now? We are not seeking to please men. We are seeking to please Christ. But sometimes the disapproval of men is a pointer to the fact that irinwaku die kato. Do you understand it? That we are missing it somewhere. So don't take every... it's because they don't like me. It's a lie. They may have their own issues, but walk in righteousness. Please Christ. You discover that issue will vanish. They will not. In Daniel, they look for something wrong to say about him. They couldn't find anything except in the worship of his God. If the aggregation they have about you is anything other than the worship of your God, it's because somewhere righteousness never writes very well. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So don't say that boss is hard. No. Walk in righteousness. Righteousness will teach you diligence. It will teach you service. Walk in peace. It will teach you forbearance. It will teach you endurance. It will teach you what? Patience. Walk in charity. Are you understanding me? The church is quiet on me now. Amen. I don't understand this question number 9. Is all madness related to the spirit? I don't know all madness. I don't know. Amen. Good day, Pastor Lide. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we together? Can we stand up and then see that? I think that some people are getting tired. Amen. Amen. Are you tired? Can you stretch? Yeah. Can you twist? Yeah, twist to the left. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, bend. Yeah. Bend and touch your toe. Yeah. Yeah, stretch up. Yeah. Yeah, sit down. Have your seats. Amen. Have your seats. Yeah? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Are we together? Let's quickly take this. The questions are actually nice. And I love to... Okay. Pastor Neil was trying to clarify the issue of the madness. That is the evil spirit? No. That is it all madness that are actually as a result of oppression of evil spirit or possession of evil spirit. That's a classical no. There are medical issues. There are issues that are health related, but there are also ones that are strengthened by presence of demonic presence. Amen. Amen. I may not be able to go that deep down into that, but if you need further clarity, see Pastor Nii or myself, and we'll be able to provide further clarity on that. Go to Pastor Lide, verse number 10. A, concerning circumcision in 1 Corinthians 17. Okay, the Bible clearly says that circumcision in the flesh is no longer necessary in our walk with God. If I'm not mistaken, some people, especially Christians, still practice this on their male born. Why so? I think I mentioned this during the meeting. It has medical advantage. Hallelujah. Okay. And is it true that for people, okay, medical reason, I think that's it. Number two, according to the Bible, what is... Okay, according to the Bible, what is a first fruit? Please explain what the giving of a first fruit is, especially about money. Because I hear people talk about giving first fruit. It's a general thing and individuals, okay? Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Let me just say this. There are truths that we do not emphasize, not because it's not truth of the Bible, but because of how seemingly controversial it may seem. Now, I practice first fruit. I give effort. A number of people in the church do. Amen. But it's not something that is emphasized. And I think I've discussed with Pastor, our daddy, the overseer of this ministry, the church, about the issue of first fruit, and said that let's leave it as based on personal convictions. I do it. It's benefited my life. It's benefited my family. And I will keep doing it till eternity comes. Amen. However, for the sake of the person that asked the question, I'll just say this. Bible says in Proverbs, I think that should be chapter 5. Is it 5? Yes. No. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit. Proverbs chapter 4. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase, and so shall thou bind spirit be brought forth with one and a vat with increase. Amen. Now, so it's the issue around first fruit is about honor. It said, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. so shall the barns be filled with plenty, and thy press is brought forth with new wine. Now, it's about honor for the Lord. Hallelujah. And in fact, every giving is not more, is more than just obedience. It's also honor. Now, as to the category of first fruit and all of that, there's been many things in the church, and of course, we just look at some things. But let me just explain this in the basics. Maybe if God permits, some other time, we're going to teach in full. Now, first fruits are different kinds. For example, there is the first fruit of the flock. An animal can have only one first fruit, one offspring, as the firstborn in his lifetime. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It can only have one offspring at a time. Amen. There are other plants, trees, fruit trees, that have only one, bear only once a year. There is also the first fruit of that. Then there is the first fruit of grains or shrubs. Are you understand? So there are different types of first fruits that Israel offers to God. Are you understanding it? Now, the law of the first fruits, like I said, if I want to teach that and break down, it's going to be an exhaustive study. But in the New Testament, there is no explicit commandment. Listen to me. There is no explicit commandment concerning the issue of first fruit. That doesn't mean that the blessings are not there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But because there is no explicit commandment as to the issue of first fruit, some people have absolved themselves from it. Like I said, I practice it. I do it, and I will still do it until eternity comes. And it's brought blessings, it saved me many times. Hallelujah. But the issue of it. Now, I know the context in which this person is asking. Is it, when do I give it? What do I give it? And how do I, all of that. I wouldn't go into that. I would say, see your pastor. And then see your pastor. Discuss what the Lord is laying in your heart. And then, like I said, one of the testimonies I shared sometimes, I say, I gave first fruits twice within 1 year. And so like, now that's between me and the Holy Ghost. It's not your commandment. Are you understand it? So, some people, just see your pastor. If there is a prompting in your heart, but we will not climb this stage and tell you, go and pay your first fruit. No. This church will not do that. If the Lord is laying at your, that's between you and the Holy Ghost. But what the Lord's word expressly states, at least, that is not a subject of controversy. Give your offerings, give your tithes. If you do that and you feel that you are fine with it, no problem. Stay there. Are you understand it? But if you feel that the Lord is nudging your heart to something deeper, and then you need clarification from your pastor, talk to your pastor. They'll give you clarifications on it. And if you need to talk to me in person, no problem. We'll give you clarification on it, and then you'll be fine. I hope that's clear enough. I hope that's clear enough. The Lord help you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please, what does it mean to be poor in the spirit? Antiore. Yeah. Ugualamashipapo. Poor in the spirit. Oh yeah, quickly. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay. You face them. It's not me that you face. You face them. Let them see your face. Let them see this, the face of a poor woman. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, talk.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is an art state. The question is, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in the spirit is, you know, having a disposition to get substances of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are trusting the Lord to get things as pertaining to himself. So it's not necessarily looking all downcasted, looking shabby, looking, but it's a heart disposition. Hallelujah. You are just trusting. You are hungry for something. You want to get something from God. And because of that, you can. It is seen in the heart. It's a thing of the heart. It's not a thing of the face. It's not a thing of, you know, how you live physically. In fact, how you live physically, it can tell. It can be seen. The places you go to, the people you talk to, the friends you associate yourself with. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Now, amen. Can we appreciate her? Look at Psalm 34, verse 5 and 6, quickly, Psalm 34, 5 and 6. He said, they looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not put to shame. He said, this poor man, this David, was David poor? David was not poor in the natural, but he was saying, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. So, which kind of poverty was he talking? That he doesn't, is not rich in the things of man. When I say rich in the things of man, that is not where, is not, his esteem of himself is not based on anything that is as naturally, or that any estate his soul can glory in. What is it? Poverty in the spirit is measured in how a man sees his need for God. Are you understanding? That he is poor in the spirit, in the sense that he doesn't have God, he doesn't. And any long, bo. Do you understand? So a person that doesn't have God, or he has not laid hold on God, sees himself as having nothing. Even he can. So look at the rich man, rich young ruler, was supposed to be poor. Are you understanding? So what? The leading, that the instruction that Jesus Christ gave to him was to lead him to sell all. That sell doesn't necessarily mean that he should go and sell naturally. It was to trade it off. But his heart was glorying in those things which he has. Bible says he had much possession. A person can be poor naturally, yet he has many possessions. He's poor naturally and he's still, but he's rich in the spirit. Say, hey, man, don't talk to me like that. Or, I know who I am. He's poor, but he's rich. He's rich in pride. He's rich in ego. He's rich in words. But a man who is poor in spirit is just looking for God. Are you understanding? So to be poor in the spirit is actually to... And they need to show you mercy to come to that place. Because every one of us are rich. Because nobody knows, sees his need for God naturally without spiritual help. They have to help you to be poor in spirit. Are you understanding? They have to what? Help you to be what? Part of the things we learned today about Christ circumcising is help you to be further poor in spirit. Because they will cut away the things that are riches to you. Things that are what? Riches, things that are attainment, things that are glory to you. Sometimes you just say BSc, MSc, MNA, CIA, NDA. You now walk with square shoulders. Say riches. Or Reverend, Doctor, Professor, Pastor, Apostle, Right Reverend, Most Senior Apostle. Amen. There's nothing wrong with title, but if they don't put the title, are you still okay? Don't talk to me. No, I am Mrs. I'm not your mate. I'm married. Look, this. It didn't come easy. It didn't come what? Easy. Go and try it if you can. The soul is rich. What is rich? Marriage. Attainment of marriage is rich. He has that estate is is an attainment for the soul. Amen. Sorry, I'm running because of our time. Hallelujah. My question is directed towards the effort of human efforts when it comes to financial increase. Considering the fact that Daddy Oyekoki mentioned, that means you were in writing division yesterday, is that the idea is not that it's not ideas that generate wealth. It's not that the Oyekoki that said it. The Bible said it. It said the race is not to, I have seen under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the bread is not to the Yes, I return and saw another the heaven. Son, that the race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen what? So it's not that the Oyekoki that said it. It's scripture. Is it the most hardworking people that are the most successful? Even Yoruba say, Ise kolowo, kirakita o dollar. That's our evil tradition. Because they've seen it. Not the most hardworking. Now, are we against hard work? No. No. You work as if there's no grace. Then you look for grace as if it's not. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, this person is saying that. Daniel mentioned that the idea is that it's not idea that generates increase, but grace. And one of our devotional addressed how God can bless us without doing anything. So I've been developing myself, trying to position myself for financial increase. But then again, when I consider the things being taught us, I fear that at the end of the day, all my hard work put into investing into myself, I might just be wasting time. Maybe I should just be reading my Bible, praying, and doing obedience. I need you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The scripture is not against hard work, but the reason why you are doing. I think that's the and all. If all your reason is just to get increase, you are getting it wrong, and then the fear of the prospect, the hope of your life is hanging on it. You are getting it all wrong. Satan will use it to torment your life. Now God wants you to do obedience and follow the leading of the Spirit, because that's actually not where it comes from. Now the Lord can lead you, and it will come from there, but your heart has grown beyond it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are diligent people. We are hardworking people. But we don't trust in our efforts. Because that's nowhere. Because God can lead you to work in a place that will not produce. Because He's teaching you higher values. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the most important thing is obedience. Leading of the Spirit. If you follow that, God can... I served in a place of work where they do promotions once a year. And they can pass you for 5 years. And God said, don't worry, I'm the one rewarding you. As you are working there, I will be supplying your needs. But serve them as if you are serving me. Are you understanding? Serve them as if you are what? Serving me. So if all you are positioning yourself as, if you position, by the time you get to the position you are positioning yourself, the industry can change. And then that place, maybe you are positioning yourself for IT. And then one AI come, will just take all your demand for your work. And then you discover that, Ofolomu. When I was a young boy, accounting low and rain, then accountants were the big boys in the mid-90s, 1994, 95. Accountants were the big boys. When you're an accountant, you are blowing. Then, in the late 1999, 2000, doctors, medical doctors, everybody, their children want to be doctor. Then, as it was bullying, in the late 2000, change IT. So, while you are seeing school, you are reading this, thank God for all of this. Now, even my elder brother that studied medicine, he said that if he knew, he would have done IT. So, Thank God for positioning, thank God for alignment, but all of those things, he can shock you. He can talk you. He can talk you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So thank God for whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart, all your strength, all your might. Are you understanding? But know that it's God that blesses. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God is not against hard work, but follow the leading of the Spirit and you'll be fine. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. One time, when I entered BRT, the person coordinating was my neighbor. So she collected my BRT card, but didn't tap it. Okay? She just gave it back to me. Another time, she just told me to enter without collecting the card. Another time, when she saw me on the queue, she told me to come to the front and allowed me to enter. I just want to know if this is corruption, sir. Help me with that mic. Let me give it to an anti-corruption man. I give it to an anti-corruption pastor. He's an anti-corruption pastor. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are enjoying. You have not done anything wrong by taking advice. He's the one that said, come to the front. He's the one that said, don't worry, go in and enjoy that privilege. God has provided it. Why don't you just enjoy it? You know, it will be bad if on the other hand, you are looking for, you know, you are lobbying, please help me, and you know, understand. But the person just feel, okay, we are neighbors. I can also do that. If I see you, I'm working somewhere, and you come there, I have a privilege. Come and enjoy the privilege. The Lord has given you that opportunity. So don't overthink everything. I believe the Lord provided that. Take advantage of it. But don't let your heart cling to it too much. So if the person doesn't do it, you now feel entitled or privileged. That's where the issue is. But as long as the person is the one extending that favor to you, I believe you should enjoy that favor.
Can we appreciate our pastor? You see, I want us to be careful about a version of Christian that is very, very legalistic. I've realized that some people are legalistic in the name of religion. I don't take any other person's thing, but you mustn't take their thing. So they use that. I don't take any other person. So no, when you touch their thing, hey, you see L. And they stand on a righteousness because I don't touch anybody's thing. Nobody also must touch my thing. It looks just, right? Look equitable. But that thing, all of us must come under the mercy and grace of Jesus. When we read that, we don't deserve anything. We don't own anything. And only grace procures things for us. Now, if we are not first-minded, we will be very, very legalistic. And the previous generation of believers has produced such kind of Christians where they are very straight, very strict, but very, very unmerciful also. And you see that they often are not malleable to the Spirit. Malleable to the Spirit. The truth is this. You are not looking for it. If it comes, there is no crime in it. But if the Holy Spirit also tells you, maybe you should decline. But don't worry, I'll just maybe stay in line. Maybe they told you to stay here, to come to the front. Maybe the reason God even allowed you to come to the front, if you get to work late or maybe you miss an exam as a student, or maybe you'll be fine. Yes, there may be people in front of you, but God positions somebody to help you. Are you understand? And that person has authority as an employee there. It's not that your friend is in front, say, come to the front. No, that's not the kind of privilege I'm talking about. He's an employee authorized by the company to allow people to come into the bus and say, you, come to the front. Is them, is the organization that empowered him to make that decision, not you. Are you understanding it? Are you understand? But if the Holy Ghost witnesses in your heart, maybe the person is not also governed by the Spirit. And sometimes it can give you advantage that can, maybe it's even beneficial to you, but it can injure the name of Christ. Then that's when you okay, don't worry. For today, let me just stay here. Thank you, ma. I really appreciate it, but I just feel like I should just, I'm not in a hurry today, ma. Eshe, ma. Next time, ma. Eshe, thank you so very much. Wisdom. Not that I'm the righteousness of God. No. You just be foolish. You suffer righteously. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's the balance. Let's not be religious. Let's not be legalistic. Let's follow the leading of the Spirit and we'll be good. Amen. About fellowshipping with the Lord, are we supposed to have a sweet, sweet feeling after fellowshipping with the Spirit in prayer? I feel like I've not been able to stay long in prayer because of time. Do you have to stay long in prayers to know you are fellowshipped, or what exactly is fellowship? Auntie Ore, oh yeah. Ore Walker. Yeah.
Praise God.
You are sweet, sweet, sweet.
Fellowshipping with God is not sweet, sweet feeling. But there are times that it can actually be sweet. That's the truth. There are times that you enjoy the presence of the Lord and it's very, very, you know, I'm sure many of us haven't. But many times it might not be so. And that doesn't mean, you know, you do not have a good fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes, like, for example, today we're talking about prayer of supplication. Somebody puts tears and saying, dear God, there's a burden in the heart of that person. And that doesn't mean the person is not fellowshipping. The person is pouring his or her heart cry to the Lord. And that's a sweet fellowship. It's not necessarily until, you know, there is. Also, the other part talks about, there was,
okay, I feel like I've not been able to stay long in prayer.
Stay long in prayer.
Go of time.
Okay.
You have to stay long in prayer to know your fellowship, or what exactly is fellowship.
I remembered Pastor Laide, he quoted a particular author, one of our fathers in the faith, and was saying that, you know, he has been able to fellowship with the Lord, that he prays every 30 minutes in a day. You know, and that one, you're already praying almost every time. And there is another pastor that also said he prays every 3 hours because the 24 hours is too.
Spend the first 3 hours praying.
Spend the first 3 hours to communicate with God. And we also mentioned this during the prayer series. And, you know, we talked about how that it's not in the number of time, it's not in the number of hours. Sometimes you can actually have the liberty to pray for a long time. Sometimes it might not be so long, but it was effective. What's the essence of praying? You are trying to communicate with God and also, you know, pour out your burden, speak to Him. If possible, get the response. You know, you are communicating with Him. Communication, we said, is a two-way thing. You are not just, okay, if that happens, you rush out. You can. There are times that you can also go back, you know, enjoy as you are doing your different activities. You are still communing. That doesn't mean you are not. But there are times that you actually need to stay. You know, there's focus. You need to deliberately pour in time. And that's when we talked about audits. You know, we're saying you can find a particular time. Some, maybe the whole day is very overwhelming and all of that. You can decide to, you know, spend time. 1 hour, 3 hours in the midnight, you know. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Amen. Can we appreciate her? Now, the concept of fellowship really is about wanting to know what's in the other person's heart. Wanting to know how they feel. What's the thing going on in their mind. Are you understanding it? Now, that, in the process of that, you stumble upon some urgent matters that need to be actioned. Are you understanding it? But more often than not, about gisting. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? Gisting. And that gisting can happen when you are on the bus, when you are in the office, about knowing what is in the lottery. You know, we have this song. Lord, I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. You know, Lord. I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. Dealer, I'm your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? That's fellowship. I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know. It's not about gag. But of course, it requires, what are you thinking? And the next day, you are about, no, so there's that mind presence. Are you understanding? So it's about mind presence. Hallelujah. Say amen. Say mind presence. Say mind presence. So when you are talking to the Lord, or when you are communing to the Lord, the most important thing is mind presence. Whether you are walking on the street, whether you are in the shop, you are minded of the Lord. Are you understanding? You are mindful of the Lord. You are mindful of what is in the mind of the Lord. Now, that means that God can easily drop a burden. If me is what is in the mind of the Lord, and the Lord wants to pray for me, then God is able to put the burden for me in your heart, and then you are required to pray. So that place, you may request some intentionality. Oh Lord, okay, concerning, I'm praying, I'm worried, I'm rebuking Satan concerning the life of me, because that is actually what is in the mind of the Lord at that moment. Are you understand? But every day I can live all my day minding the mind of the Lord. Minding the mind of the Lord. I'm staying in fellowship. As I'm minding the mind of the Lord, He's giving me instructions concerning things to do. I am doing it because I am minded. I am putting the Lord in my mind. I'm talking to Him and He's talking to me back. That two-way communication is open. Never shuts. There's no time it shuts. There's no time it collapses. That's staying in fellowship. Are you understanding? Staying in fellowship. That two-way communication is ever open. There's no time we drop the call. Just imagine, how many of us did extra cool, during extra cool? You know, sometimes you are in the call, you are 3 hours there, you are doing everything. Are you there? Are you sitting there? I'm sitting there, I'm listening to you. What are you doing? I'm just typing things. Is mommy there? I'm hearing Shade's voice under the ground. Shade is there, he's just doing his own thing. You're not talking anything serious, but you're just staying connected. Someone always say, what are you doing? It's Tunji's on the line. Tunji's still on the line. Later on. Then say, okay, I'm not on here. But you're just living in each other's space. You are present. You are present in each other's space as if it is real time. So you are here, you are in heaven. Are you understanding? You are just there. The call is never hung up. There's no time. So you know what everything is doing. You are always connected. That's staying in fellowship. So you hear again. Whenever I want to pray, immediately I'm in the spirit, because he never disconnected the call. There was never a time he went out of the spirit. Are you understanding? He didn't go. Some of us, once we finish prayer, that we have paid God his dues for the day. Every other thing, flesh. Then the next day we start. I've paid my due for the day. I've gone. No, but when we stay in communion, the call is never dropped. Are you understand? The call is never dropped. Even as you are going to sleep, you are waking up. You are in that fellowship. You are in that fellowship. You are. It's something that they said it should be with you. When we share the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the commitment, be with you. It's not start and stop. Be with you. It should stay with you. So you should stay in fellowship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You stay in fellowship. Even from fellowship, you go to prayer. Are you understanding? It's from fellowship that you want go into prayer. If you are supplicating, it's from a place of fellowship that you go and supplicate. And then you come back. You maintain thanksgiving. It's an attitude of fellowship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we can stay in the place of fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we double up? Amen. There are four more questions. Can we finish this? Amen. Okay. We have been taught that we can pray for anything, And we have also been taught that our Heavenly Father knows what we need and that we should just keep following for all those things we will be sorted. Which do we really do? And what should I do when I have applied both principles year in, year out, and nothing still happened? Really? And it seems the Lord is not saying anything about the issue. In this case, what is the way forward? If you have not followed, if you have followed it very well, you will not be asking this question. If you have, as we said, applied the boat and you are still keep following, you say year in, year out, and it seems as if the Father is not saying anything about the issue. Now, what makes you think silence is not an answer? What makes you think silence is not an answer? No, I'm not meaning silence is the best answer for a fool. No, that's not it. That's not what I mean. Amen. But that the Lord is quiet about it. Just imagine. You know, I remember, I think 1998, 1999, thereabout. I remember asking the Lord for something. And the Lord did not do it. Or the Lord was just silent. And I was asking, Lord, you said ask and it shall be given. And he said to me, just imagine your 3-year-old child asks for a brand new car. And I give it to him. Number one, he doesn't know how to drive. Number two, even if he does know how to drive and he sits on the street, he kills himself, kills somebody else. Will I have been a good father? I said, definitely not. He said, so what will have been expected of me as a good father? I said, even if you have the resources, you would expect him to grow of age, to come of age. Then, when he's able to handle it, there are some questions that my son asked. I just said, don't worry, when you grow, you understand. Because there's no language I want to use to understand, explain to him that he wants what? Understand. It is beyond his what? Pay grade. Now, that's why you have pastors. Sometimes you need to talk to your pastors concerning some things explicitly. They will tell you. Are you understanding it? Why? Bible says that, blessed be God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that we can, with the same comfort wherewith he has comforted us, comfort those who go through the same things also. Sometimes God will not talk to you personally because he has talked to persons that he has made examples of that way. And look at when the rich man was asking Moses to send Lazarus. He said, they have the law and the prophets. He said, if they will not hear them, they will not hear anybody, even if one goes out from the dead. So God is not a talkative. If God has set people in your life, who should instruct you? Some people, the answer to your prayer is your neighbor that is next to you, or your pastor that God has. But you will say, no, because of your pride and arrogance, you don't want to talk to your pastor. You want God to come and talk to you personally. And he will just keep looking at you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God has set people in your life who should instruct you, who should help you understand his will. But you want to hear God. Now, I'm not against hearing God personally. We tell people, hear God personally. But there are things that God will not tell you personally. There are what? That's why he sets people over you. Are you understanding me? So talk to your pastor, get clarification. Why? Satan will hide there and frustrate your life, and he can create discontentment, and it can affect your faith. Because I've seen people who have been filled with bitterness against God, against the faith, against church, against pastor, because of unanswered prayers. Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when a desire comes, it's a tree of life. So sometimes when things are deferring and a person doesn't have it, it can make the heart sick. And that sickness can be terrible. I'm not talking even bodily sickness. It can affect the body, but it can affect many things. So talk to your pastor, talk to your leaders. They will help guide you. Otherwise, you can become frustrated, embittered. Embittered against God, embittered against you. You just start calling church scam. And his spirit is a spirit that's about it. It's the spirit that is about it. So talk. They will help you to understand how to actually get the things that the Lord is saying. And then you'll be able to, you'll be saved in your work. Amen. So the way forward, talk to your pastor. Talk to your pastor. Have a one-on-one discussion with your pastor. And then everybody is supposed to have pastors in this church. If you don't have pastor, talk to Pastor Shegun, and then we'll have everything sorted out. During Sunday school, number 16. During Sunday school, we have been told to pray according to the types of prayer. Number one, how would I know which kind of prayer I should pray in certain circumstances of life? Please get the art of prayer. Bookstore, do you have Art of Prayer by Kenneth Hagin? Yes, look at, bring that book, bring it to the front. Get this book. We are not selling it at any profit. We are making resources. I would say, buy the truth, sell it not. Some of us don't learn to invest in spiritual things. But when it comes to things in the flesh, you know how to. Some people, the only book they have in their library is the one they gave them as gift for their birthday. They don't have anything. To empty your pocket, to feed your... No. Even their Bible is a gift. Even their Bible is a gift. So, to buy things that will aid their spiritual journey, you know? I can go. But to buy clothes, I shall be... Oh, yeah, good. Daddy. That's just kind of... So, buy this book. It will help your journey a lot. Are you understanding? We did a subsidized bookshop there. Some people have never bought any book from it. And some of the issues that you are having, the answers to it are in those books. We encourage you to get this book, Art of Prayer by Kenneth, our daddy of blessed memory, Kenneth Iegi. It will help you so well. You understand this issue perfectly, and then you'll be able to pray well. Amen. God bless you. Okay, verse 17. When do we pray in the spirit, and when do we pray in our understanding? Pastor Nia has answered that during the... Is that not so? Thank God I was in Sunday school roundup, so I won't spend time over that. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 18. Remember, Pastor, I think I lost my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay. I think I've lost my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Before now, there is this sweet fellowship I enjoy with the Holy Spirit. Like, even when I don't have a particular question, I could literally hear him from within. At times, I hear him laugh. But now, I can't even find that at all again. I've been on this issue for a long time now. I pray and I do other spiritual activities, hoping to get my relationship back. I'm still on it, and I have not gotten it back. Please, sir, help me. Don't laugh at this person. You are sincere, and I love it. That sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit is beautiful, but God can win you away from it. Are you understanding? God can what? Sir? The person should come and see me. Yes. I think it's better that we see. But let me just say this for the sake of the people, other people that may have, because sometimes the question is not just for the person asking it. There are many other persons also that are going through the same thing. Now, the issue about the Holy Ghost, if the issue with the Holy Ghost is as a result of a disobedience, the disobedience will always flag in your spirit. And then, once you return to the place of that action and then begin to obey, the thing connects back. But many times it's not even this because of a particular issue. It's because God wants to mature you. God wants you to grow beyond feeling into a knowing. I remember when that thing, when I came into that season in my life, I wanted to die. When you have enjoyed Holy Ghost, and suddenly no contact. What up? Hey! Have I committed unpardonable sin? Everything you which cry did I not cry? Hey! Don't take my. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I renewed that. I almost sang that song. Die. You go somewhere. If you come down for every other call possible. Because you know that. That thing. It happened almost more than 6 months to a year. I say, your punishment. It's a punishment. It's not punishment in the sense that it was not funny. I was crying. Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost said something. The Holy Ghost said something. After a while, Jesus now said that, lo, I am with you from now till the end of the world. He said, I want you to know it, for your life not to be built on feelings, but the assurance of my word. That sometimes you don't feel like it, but I want you to know I am with you. Are you understand? So, knowing is more than feeling. Knowing is what? More than. When the light of that season began to break, I knew. He said, I am with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So, whether you feel like it or not, even in the fire, I'm with you. Even in the water, I'm with you. So, regardless of whatsoever situation, I am always. When the light of. No, that one was not sermon. It dawned in my spirit. Are you understand? It dawned. It came as an assurance. It came as a blessedness. From that moment on, it was not feeling again to me. I began to enjoy a higher relationship, whether I feel it or not. Are you understand? So, if God wants to move you beyond feeling, He can close that thing over you. Now, that feeling is not saying. Now, when you have mastered that place, they can restore the feeling. But whether it comes or it goes, you know that it's not about the feeling. That is about something that stays regardless of the feeling. Are you understanding? So, there are dynamics to it, but most importantly is that talk to your pastor. When you talk to your pastor also, they were able to help you navigate some of these intricacies. If you don't have a pastor, if you don't have someone to help you, to guide you, you can run into trouble with some of these thoughts. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think the last one, Pastor Ore mentioned in today's Sunday school that prayer of supplication is heartfelt prayer, and he said that God knows how we feel, that we should talk to Him about everything. In this situation, where you have prayed heartfelt prayer and have cried to God, you have begged God, you have asked for mercy upon a particular thing, but you seem not to be getting the answer, what can be done? And say the answer. And say you should answer your question. On it.
Like they answered it. He said that sometimes silence is an answer. So even when you pray, you've trusted God, keep talking to Him. Abi, Pastor.
Okay. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Can we appreciate her? Okay, let me say this. I remember the time, particularly when I was praying for my dad. And I like giving this example for a good reason. My dad was not born again. And of course, like I said, he had many wives, about three wives, not many, but at least three wives. Amen. So I was pained. Then I got born again. When I got born again, and after the Lord healed my heart of the anger towards Him, I started praying for Him to get born again. We started praying around 1994. The first time I had awareness that we prayed for Dad was around 1995. I had not gotten born again there. But I got born again in 1997, and then we continued praying for Dad. I prayed for Dad from 1997 till around 2001. From 1997 to 2001, and all the while we were still. So I kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. And at a point in time, I think around 2001, 2002, I can't say exactly when, the Lord walked into my room and looked me in the eyes. When I say look me in the eyes, he just looked at, walked calmly, gently, quiet. He looked with a deep concern in his soul. He wanted to say something. Then he said something that I will never forget. He said, "Do you know that I love him more than you can ever love him?" Suddenly, a light broke out. That in all my prayers, I have been praying as if I am the one that lost my dad more than God. As if I am trying to get God to do what he's not willing to do. So, my prayer has been more of an accusation to God than a request from a father. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Immediately, I broke down. Because I think this was 2003, 2004. It was not 2004. Then I broke down. I said, "Sorry, Lord." Then my prayer changed from "God, save my dad" to "God, you know you loved him before he became my father. Before he became my dad, you loved him. You paid the price for his salvation. And if he dies, then your blood has gone to waste. And Lord, because you have paid this price already, I do not desire that your blood should go to waste." Now, before, I was telling him, save him because I... Oh, Jesus. Many times we do some foolish things. And then we come and charge God foolishly. So, immediately he said that, my prayer changed. I said, "Please, I want the provision that you have secured in your blood for him not to go to waste. So I'm agreeing with your eternal work to be made manifest for him." I prayed that prayer not more than 6 months. 3 months. Then God said, "Enough. Start thanking me." Now, I've been praying for how many years? Then, more than 6 years. Then, you now prayed less than 3 months. He said, "Enough. Start thanking me." I just had a peace that this man cannot die unsaved. 2006. That's 1-2 years later. I was just thanking God. Every time, I just thank God. Daddy is done. Daddy is done. 2006, he had a coma, a severe health crisis, and went into coma in UCH Ibadan. He was in coma for 3 days. The medical statistics were so bad that the doctors were surprised that he lived. But when they told me that Daddy was in coma, I knew in my spirit that this man could not die. It was that on that deathbed that he gave his life to Christ. The next, I think he gave it, that's December 2026 to 2027. He lived till another 3 years before he finally passed. But those 3 years, he was living for Jesus. Now, what am I saying? I've been praying. And at a point, I was even almost frustrated that God was not answering me. But because many of the prayers that we are praying really is not accurate. I'm sorry. But God is not condemning us. God wants us to grow. So sometimes why God is quiet is because you are not grown, and then there's no way he can explain to you to make you understand that what you are doing is wrong. So sometimes you're just quiet on the matter. Now, it took a measure of growth. Now, between the time I started praying, there was a lot of growth that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost between that time. Then I started reading again. Do you understand? I started getting established in certain light and understand before God could come to me and then tell me what was wrong with what I was doing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So sometimes when we say that, I've done everything. By the time God have come and pointed out what you have not been doing to you, you yourself will be shocked. You know, like the Bible says that every man sings his own praises, but a faithful man is hard to find. So sometimes you think that we have done everything that we ought to do, and the problem is with God. But if God comes and opens the book very, very well, we will see that really, really, we have not done as much as we ought to. That's why it's good to rest on mercy. Are you understanding? It's good to what? Rest on mercy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's good to rest on mercy. If I had had somebody who was actively pastoring me then, I would have been able to journey faster. But we were fully jackboying. Are you understanding? We are fully jackboying. So some of the things that have taken us years now shouldn't take you so much years to come to light and understanding. Are you understanding it? It shouldn't take you so much years. So please, please, and please, if you've prayed, offered heartfelt prayer, or you feel that you have done everything that you ought to, and it's not working, talk to your pastor. Are you understanding? Have a discussion. Or, okay, I've done this thing. Let them go in, help you, evaluate it very well. Sometimes they need to tell you, okay, what do you actually say in the place of prayer? Because the people say that they say, I've prayed about it. What do you say in the place of prayer? Okay, pray, let me hear you. Not because I'm God. I want to hear what you say to God. You understand? That's actually what pastoring is. I want to hear. You want to see the process. Oh, this is where the process is. You know, Eggie said something like that. I've forgotten the particular scenario. The couple that was praying, I think concerning their child or something, that after hearing their prayer, or even the one that the Lord came to rebuke him, concerning him checking the person that was healed. After he said he has been healed, he said, check if you have been healed. And God said, no, that's actually unbelief. Do you understand it? So, pastoring involves looking critically into all that has been done. Oh, this is where the problem is. And this is why this is wrong. That's why God set shepherds over us. Do you understand it? So, please, please, and please, don't despise your shepherds. Don't despise your pastor. Engage them. If they say they are busy, pack your load to their house. Go and meet them in the house. Say, I'm here. I will just want to stay with you for the next 3 days. Maybe they will be looking into your eyes and say they don't have time. And you understand it? Go and meet them in the house. They are your pastors for a reason. Are you understanding it? They are your pastors for a reason. Help them to help you. Amen. Are you blessed today? We've taken so much time. I didn't think that we'll be here till this time. But thank you so very much for staying. The Lord bless you so very much. In the name of Jesus. Can you shout amen? Have the questions been beneficial to you? Thank you so very much. God bless you.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.